Shalom, I'm Hillary Brim, and perhaps you know that I was editor of publications for Kenneth E. Hagin for many years. One day he walked into my office and he said, "There's going to be an age change. I won't be here." Speaking of himself, but he indicated that I would be. And he said, "It's not going to be just like you step over a log and everything is different. God is going to start bringing things from the glory world into this world. There will be more occasion of angels and activity seen. And there will be people, many people, more people will go behind the veil into the glory world and bring back a testimony of what they saw. Some," he said, "will be near-death experiences, some will not." So right away then, that was in probably 1979, I started collecting these people, and I've known them through the years, people who have been to heaven and come back with their testimony. Known them for years. Gary Wood, for instance, knew him for years. Now one of my newest collections, my newest pieces in my collection, is Dean Braxton. And Dean Braxton was dead for an hour and 45 minutes. He had an amazing experience in heaven. And he recently came by Prayer Mountain, and I interviewed him. And you're about to hear the things he shared with me and with you.
You know, my son was going to Christ for the Nations at the time, you know. And so we were going to pick him up. And then at that time, we were planning to move to Texas, you know, and be in the Texas area, Tyler, Texas, really. And there was a house I looked at and everything.
Well.
And so what happened after that is that the doctor came in and said, "Hey, the machine," they did this mobile machine that would break up kidney stones, "was coming to the hospital the next day. And if I would stay over, they could blast the stone the next day." And of course, we said, yes, we'd do that. We rearranged our flight to leave on, this was like Thursday. That was going to happen on Friday. We were going to fly out on Monday. So we had all this stuff taken care of. You know, so that night I had that kidney infection. So they gave me antibiotics for that kidney infection, figuring that medicine or those antibiotics would work on me. We found out later on they didn't work on me, but no one went back and checked it. So the next morning when they did the blasting of the stone to break it up so I could, you know, pee it out, the reality of it is they pushed the poison into my bloodstream and I became septic. And everything in my body started shutting down. The amazing thing about it, the doctor that did it, he didn't even tell anybody. So everybody's blind on what's happening to me and why I am really losing the ability to breathe, because that's what happened. I suffocated, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I really suffocated. My lungs stopped operating first, and then everything else stopped operating because I wasn't getting any air.
Now you're conscious, though, of this happening.
I'm aware of it for because it took about 3 hours. You know, this is after the operation. They blasted the stone. And I remember sitting there. First, I had that, nasal, you know, oxygen just to be putting in. And I go, you know, that type of thing. And then all of a sudden, they bring the big old, you know, the oxygen thing, put it on my face because I couldn't get the air in. And what was going on is my lungs were literally poisoned and they were closing up. They were shutting down. And so it got to the point about 2 hours. They said, "Oh man, this guy is in trouble." They rushed me. They rushed me down the hallway to put me in ICU. They bring in another doctor. I just remember during that process of being rushed down there, I'm watching these lights go by, you know, really fast. And then I say to myself, "I am dying." That's what I said to myself on the inside. I didn't say it out loud. I said, "I am dying." And the next thing I know, instead of panicking and getting hysterical or freaking out, so, like, my spirit rose up on the inside of me, and if my hands could have moved, I'd go, "I'm going home." And peace, joy came all over me. And I didn't know it would happen that way. But man, it was like I was looking forward to leaving this planet at that moment. You know?
How great.
Yeah.
And so was it then that you left your body?
No, they tried to do a little bit more on me, this Dr. Rigay. Which was the doctor who was working on me. He wasn't the one that caused the issue. He's the one that was brought in to clean up the mess. And he had to put a PICC line in me. My wife was in the room. We made some decisions for
Marilyn.
Him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that she could put antibiotics in me and more, you know. But he didn't know what was going on because the other doctor didn't communicate to him. And so then they got out of the room, and then my wife tells me this part. They come back to her and said, "We've got to intubate him right now or he's going to die." That's what she said. And she said, what? You know, that type of thing. Because, you know.
Now, you'd been through this once before, so you know that it's supposed to be a fast little thing and over and no.
Yeah, yeah. I had kidney stones about 4 years earlier.
Yes.
And so we went in the afternoon. I was home by the evening.
Yes,
you know,
sure.
It was no big thing. So
this is totally a shock.
This is totally a shock to everybody, you know. And so, you know, Marilyn, she gave the permission for him to intubate me. And she says this part of the story. She was driving. We lived maybe about 5 minutes from the hospital. So she was going to go home, get some clothes, and come back. And as she was driving out of the parking lot, the people knew her there because she had worked there before. They called her up and said, Marilyn, your husband has just coded, and we're doing CPR on him right now. And she goes, what? Again, you know? And then she drives home, calls a bunch of friends. This is why you need friends.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
that know
yes.
Jesus Christ as Lord.
She knew what to do.
She knew
she
exactly.
She knew
what,
to go
yes.
to prayer. Now, yeah. She's a believing woman.
Yes, she is.
And I was reading in your book, she made her mouth line up with
yes.
what she prayed. She had those people line up with what they were praying.
Correct.
So there's no if it be thy will
no.
going on.
There was none. She was, I called her the general because she was in charge and she was making sure anybody that came around me afterwards or even before that they spoke the word of God over me. If they had any doubts or anything like that, she cut them off and she even called my best friend at the time and told him not to come to the hospital because he was one of those doubting Thomases. One of those people that you share the gospel with and said, but, you know,
yeah,
that, but,
yeah, yeah,
you know what I'm
yeah.
talking
you
about?
Never know. You
and,
never know.
And she said, don't you dare come.
You know, the Lord said, if you ask anything according to my will.
Yes, yes.
Well, his will is his word.
That's
his will.
That's
his,
right.
That's his will and testament to
yes.
us. So if it's in here, then it's his will.
That's correct.
So she moved according to the will. She prayed
yes.
according to God's will.
And she made sure the people that were praying for me was praying according to God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and she didn't care if she offended anybody or made anybody mad.
Good for her.
She was going to guard me. During that process.
She did it.
And I always tell people, look at the results.
That's exactly
right.
Look
at the
right.
results, you know.
That's exactly right. So what was your first sensation when you did leave?
Well, my first sensation when I left my body is I knew where I was going.
Did you know where you went out?
You mean the time?
Some people say they go out their mouth. Some say.
Oh, no, I didn't.
None of that.
I felt like I would just, I was gone.
You were just out.
I was just out. And I didn't look back to see anything. I didn't. Some people say they had angels take them.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have no angels take me. I knew exactly where I was going. I always tell people I have the greatest GPS on the inside called the Holy Spirit. He knows how to get there.
Uh-huh.
You know. And so I remember the first sensation of when I got out. I was already experiencing the peace and the joy and the comfort. But the more I got closer to heaven, the greater that joy and that comfort and that peace was. So when I came out of this body. It was great. And every movement I made toward heaven, it was greater. Okay. So when you ask that first sensation, that's the first sensation I felt was I am going to a place that is past peace. And I knew it. And I was created for that place. And so I remember seeing things as I was passing, leaving my body.
Such as?
I remember seeing our universe. I remember leaving the hospital room. I remember entering into that black area. And then the part I believe you liked, I remember when the prayers were passing me by to get to heaven.
I love this part. Now, were you going slowly drifting?
No, I wasn't drifting at all. I always tell people faster than the speed of sound, faster than the speed of light. The Bible says to be absent from the body, to be in the presence of the Lord. It was so fast, it's faster than we can blink. You know, and by the time that top eyelid hit the bottom one, I was there. That's how fast it was.
Uh-oh. That could be the twinkling of an eye.
That's the, yeah. It could be. You know, the Bible does say in a twinkling of an eye, it's fast. It is. There's nothing I think that we have here to measure it. My friends Sharon and Phil have a picture of a plane busting the sound barrier, and you can see the realm around the plane as it's busting that sound barrier. Well, this is busting the light barrier and everything else after that.
Mm-hmm. And you were going fast, but still you were seeing the universe as,
oh yeah, you can
or
catch
our
it.
Universe.
Oh, you catch it. You be able to bring in everything because you're out of this body, so there's no processing like we do right now.
Yeah, it's not thinking like we do.
No, it's not thinking.
And you saw the prayers that were being prayed.
I saw the
that
prayers.
Marilyn was praying.
Yeah, Marilyn and others that were praying for me. But it wasn't just the prayers for me. If I would have turned my head, I was in thousands and billions of prayers this way. And if I would have turned my head this way, I would have seen thousands and billions of prayers this way. I was like in my stream, like a river. You know how a river flows? It was like I was in my stream of prayers. Everyone, all the prayers that were close to me.
The prayers for you, in other words.
Yeah, the prayers for me. I was in that stream. Because Maryland had gotten a lot of people to pray for me, you know, and told my son and my daughter to pray for me. My daughter at the time was very much involved with the International House of Prayer up in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So she got the International House of Prayer. To start praying for us up there. And so and my son was going to Christ for the Nation.
Yes.
So he got
your whole family knew how, and they had all friends.
They were having these friends that were praying for me as I was leaving. So all these prayers that were being prayed all over the place at that moment, I was in their stream. They all kind of came together, almost like to usher me into heaven. You could say
I'm
it that
sure
way.
I'm sure that's true.
You know, and so, but I knew it too. Billy, the thing that amazed me is when I came back, I knew who prayed for me. I literally knew.
How did you know that?
I just knew. I would say, you were praying for me at that time. You were praying for me at this time. I go up to people and say, you were praying for me at that time. You know, I knew their prayers. You know, it's like I recognized their voice as it was going past me. And they were moving fast. I always tell people, I really didn't even see the front of the prayer. I saw the light as it went past me, like the tail.
The jet stream.
The jet stream of it. It's almost like a shooting star. You know how you see it go across the sky, and then it has a tail after it of light? That's what I was seeing. That's how fast it was moving.
And they were going faster than you.
It was going faster.
But there were other prayers for other people going up.
They were also going faster than me.
And you knew they were for other people.
They were for other people. I knew it.
They were like in your periphery.
They were, yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So prayer. Oh, my goodness. Prayer. Whew. Communication with God.
Oh, yes.
And so you were there just in the twinkling of an eye?
Twinkling of an eye.
Your feet came down. What happened?
Well, you know, my feet came down. I came into the light. There was a light before me. It looked like a window. Doesn't mean it was a window. That's the best way I could describe it. And I remember coming into it. And when I entered in, everything was right and nothing was wrong. And I fit. Even me telling you right now, I still get that overwhelming feeling of how I fit in that realm, you know. And then I came to know later on how out of place I was in this realm, because that is the realm that I was created for. And that realm is God's realm in the sense where God is. And so I remember.
Everything about you was right.
Everything about
me was
right.
I was reading about that, and I thought about Dr. Roy Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was the head of Foursquare Gospel west of the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this brother-in-law who was a Christian, but he was hard for people to get along with.
Mm-hmm.
And he just rubbed Brother Roy the wrong way. And Brother Roy, now this man's he's a saint of God, Brother Roy. Everybody mm-hmm. knew him. But still, this guy bothers him, you know. And he's standing at the grave. And the Lord said to him, everything about him that you didn't like was in his brain.
Right.
And his brain is physical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not his spirit.
Right.
It's not the mind of the spirit. And all of that is gone.
Yeah.
Everything about him that was just rub you the wrong way, it's all gone.
It's all gone.
It's not there. So I thought about that when I read about you. You said you were right.
Yeah.
Now, probably every single thing about you mm-hmm. before you died wasn't exactly pure and everything, you know.
Yes.
Even though we're right standing with God, of course. But it was all gone.
It was all gone.
Your spirit man went up, wasn't there.
Yes, yes. Left all that other stuff down here on the planet.
Yeah.
When I got there, I would say, you'll be right and everybody else will be right.
Isn't that
but
great?
It's not according to how I say right is. It's according to how God says. And we fit. You know, that's what I don't even know how to explain it. You know, I could say you have a perfect fit, but we were created to be in rightness. I always tell people that's why we cannot stand things that go wrong, because we were never created to be in things that were going wrong. We were created to be in things that were going right, and not right according to how I say it, but according to how He says it. And I remember coming into that realm and just everything was right. Past peace, I always say too. People say, what do you mean? There's nothing to be peaceful from. Everything's right. You know, on the planet, we got things that we want to be peaceful from. The weather, when it goes bad, you know. Family members sometimes.
Yeah, like
you know.
His brother-in-law.
Yeah. You know, friends.